Sempre baccalare dal mano bene. Se ci picchia bande se è baccalare picchia me.
Oh mamma, mi sono fatto va. Oh mamma, la ta la ta la ta la. Hey, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. So we're having a, starting over here in Uptown Colonial Kingston this coming Sunday. And the Ulster County Italian-American group, of which I'm a member, we're going to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade. Because I love the Irish. Mwah! Yes, I do. One of my books is what's called, it's called What Zizzy Gave Honey Boy, a true story about love, wisdom, and the soul of America. And it was a William Morrow book. Matter of fact, that's the book that they made a movie out of. It's being shown in film festivals, starring Doris Roberts, who played the mother of in the hit TV series Everyone Loves Raymond. Anyway, I have a photo in that book of me and at my first communion, and I was one of a few Italian kids in an all-Irish Catholic school, and there we are dressed up in white. And I'm holding hands with Teresa McKelvey. So I fell in love with the Irish at a young age. They say in the Catholic Church that you reach the age of reason at 7 years old. And that's why you receive the first communion. And so I reached the age of reason at 7 years old. I fell in love with Teresa McKelvey. And we used to kiss in the basement, the Christ the King Church, when they were giving us religious instructions, you know. And could you imagine that today, boy? If we were kissing, they'd have me locked up and on all kinds of drugs, whacking me out. Anyway, actually, I did suffer for it because by the fifth grade, Sister Marie Rosea grabbed me by my little blue tie and violently slapped me about, perforated my middle ear, did a lot of damage. And I could no longer go swimming. And I, at that age, you know, I was on my way becoming a great water skier, you know. So it really screwed my life up for a long time. But it could have been worse, you know. See what's going on in the Catholic Church with all those priests, you know. Anyway. So, Chela Luna Metsamata, happy St. Patrick's Day coming up. And on to the news. Woof. Where do we begin? Well, yesterday, of course, another wonderful episode of the presidential reality show. Yep, Trump's on his way. Reality show champion. He won Hawaii, Michigan, Mississippi. And, of course, Bernie Sanders scored an upset victory over Hillary in Michigan. So, what's going to happen? You know, this guy, I mean, you know, it's to me, it's a bad act. Again, the people that's... I'm very much opposed to anyone that promotes war. And Bernie Sanders has a nice little war record behind him as well. And war and peace is a big issue with me because these clowns could talk all they want about how they're going to fix the economy. Their strategies add up to nothing. But when it comes to war, you know, as I said, Bernie's on the front burner. He got the people arrested for protesting the Bill Clinton's war in against Yugoslavia, the Serbian war. He supported the Afghan war. I voted against the Iraq war. Yeah, but you voted to fund it, and you voted to fund every other war bill that pushed through Congress. Oh, yeah, Bernie, and you co-sponsored that Senate resolution that Gaddafi has to stand down and no-fly zone. Oh, and you're all in favor of Obama's Syria strategy as well. Libya, Syria, Ukraine. Yeah. So anyway, that's where we're at. It's more of the same and worse. And as I look at it, and again, only speaking for myself, because you know the motto of the Trends Journal is "Think for yourself." You know, it's a freak show, and not only in the United States, around the world. You know, pick your country. You know, Malaysia, great scandals going on. I mean, you can't make this one up. Like the prime minister or whatever, the president, whatever his title is. You know, they found that he had almost $1 billion in a Swiss bank account. And then it wasn't a bribe. No, the Saudi government gave him it because they liked him a lot. I mean, you know, it's one country. And look what's going on in Brazil with the Petrobras Petrobras scandal, the oil company scandal that now has the president and former president up on charges or about to be brought up. They're trying to impeach her. I mean, you go around the world, it's one scandal after another. And it's the sign of the times. The age is stupid. And we're going to have consequences from this disaster, but people really aren't paying much attention to it, because even when you go back into this presidential reality show, you know how it's going to end up. That the people, instead of saying that none of the candidates are qualified, they'll instead debate which of the lesser of two evils is best qualified to run and ruin their lives. So you can see it unfolding. I talk to people I know about Bernie Sanders. Well, you know, he's good on a lot of other things. Well, that doesn't mean anything to me. War and Peace. Again, we launched Occupy Peace here in Colonial Kingston last September. And of course, Gary Null was there along with Ralph Nader, Dr. Robert Thurman, Cindy Sheehan, and myself, pushing an agenda for peace. And to me, that is a primary aspect, because with peace comes prosperity, beauty, joy, and creativity. With war, it just saps us of morality. And with the loss of morality, we lose everything that goes along with it. So as I look at the presidential reality show, I have nothing to do with this thing in terms of what I believe in, what I want, and how I see things going as a person that forecasts trends. So if we stay on the course, it's quite obvious that we're going to have more of the same, but much worse. And until a critical mass who wants to live in peace and gracious beauty and take it away from those whose greatest ambition is to rule and control, we won't see positive development, nor the Renaissance 2.0 that we had forecast. Only then will it prevail. And again, you know, I'm talking about the United States, but of course the Trends Journal and the work we do is global. And when you look at the global issues, you just have to take a trip to Europe. Look what's going on with the refugee crisis. So what's the big news? Well, you know, they had a big meeting over there in Brussels. How to deal with the refugee crisis. Yep. Millions of desperate, homeless refugees escaping Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen. Yeah, I wonder why they're escaping. Oh, they're escaping because the people meeting in Brussels are the people that bomb their countries into oblivion. But we're not going to talk about that. No, we'll just call it the refugee crisis. It happened all on its own. Yeah, those bombs from outer space, they just landed on their homes, destroyed their entire countries, killed millions. And I wonder why they're fleeing their homes and going into the Europeans' backyards. I don't understand it. I think maybe we should put together a committee and a commission. That's it. A blue ribbon panel of policymakers to determine why the refugee crisis has occurred. Because as those leaders of the EU and Turkey and the other members of the Coalition of the Killing, the Americans and the Arab League, you know, while they all get together and gather in Brussels to talk about the problem and how to solve it, you won't hear a peep out of their mouths that they're the people that caused it. It's not, you're not allowed to say that. You know, so that's off, it's off, you can't say it. And the subservient media, they never condemn those solely responsible for creating the refugee crisis. Do you know why? Because the media is owned and controlled by the people that are part and parcel to the wars. Look at the New York Times, how they let us to help lead us to war against Saddam Hussein, who had those weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda that never existed, and how they promoted the Syrian war, and how they promote Libya. The facts are there. You forgot about the one that old Saddam Hussein had those yellow cakes and aluminum tubes? Oh, yeah. But we won't talk about that because, prostitutes just do their job. They get paid for it. They make their client feel good. And then you call it a day. So they're not calling out the people that have caused this crisis. And when you watch the presidential reality show in the United States, it's the same thing. You know, it's a sideshow. It's just like when I was a kid, I remember the carnival barkers. And step right up. It's no different. It's just a different time, a different act. But it's still a Barnum and Bailey world. And the greatest show on earth is being produced by the big media giants. That's their job. And they're producing it exactly like they do their other game shows. Dumbed down game show standards. They have their flacks out there framing the questions to meet those dumbed down game show standards. But it keeps the crowds cheering. And that's what we have now. And so people ask me again, when will things change? And I keep saying, nothing is going to change until enough individuals change. It's that 100th monkey theory. The story about, the monkey started doing something, I forgot what it was, in a remote island. And they all started doing the same thing. And then an island that was, 100 miles away or so, the monkeys there started doing the same act. And that's what it's going to take. When enough people, the critical mass, who wants to live in peace and gracious beauty, take life in their own hands and take it away from the carnival barkers and snake oil salesmen who tell us that, just follow me, our gang of lunatics is the best, that we can offer. And they do it all the time. And they keep selling their policies, promising to promote financial security and military victory. And all they do is compound the catastrophes they created by promising greater success to their monumental failures in the next round of tragic new series of policies, procedures, acts, and laws that they will institute under the name of We the People. So that's where we are on that front. And again, this presidential reality show, it's a freak show for all that are tuned in. So, who's going to win the Democratic nomination? It's up for grabs. We didn't think Bernie Sanders would get this far, but obviously he is. and he's playing, you know, it was going back to the Clinton campaign back in 1992. And they had this slogan at the campaign headquarters, "It's the economy, stupid." And so they play the economy card. And by the way, the Clintons keep talking about the wonderful economy in the 1990s. And it's true. The economy was booming in the 1990s. And there was a reason for it. Those of us that are old enough to remember, go back to around 1994. Remember what a computer looked like? Who had cell phones? Hardly anyone. The cell phones, you had these big things, these big boxes in the trunks of cars with aerials and on the roof. That was a cell phone, these big things that people used to have. Didn't come till around 2000 when cell phones became common. And then you look about where computers were. Remember what you had trying to... Well, you didn't have movies on the computer. You had these, you know, stick figures kind of movement. And the figures hardly moved. You know, it was a brand new world. It was the beginning of the computer revolution. Along with that came the dot-com boom. That's what generated the growth. And by the way, in my book, Trends 2000, which came out in 90, wrote it actually in 95, and... I didn't see the revolution being as the computer revolution being as big as it was. I did not anticipate it as a trend forecaster. I mean, it just took off in ways that were so fast and so life changing. I mean, the computer all of a sudden became the internet became the new Alexandrian library. Changed virtually overnight. So that's what really juiced the economy. And so the Clintons take, they should take credit for it, because after all, did everybody forget? Al Gore invented the internet. That's right. That's this clown throws out that line, insinuating that he was the man responsible for the internet. So I guess the Clintons should get credit for the job creation of the 1990s, which they're taking all the credit for now. And by the way, just a little side note of that. Then there was the dot-com bubble bursting in March of 2000. But we won't talk about that. That was another time. And interesting, too, because you can see nothing has really changed since then. Because following that bubble burst, what happened was, George Bush. Boy, the Bushes are being banished, aren't they? There's a name that's going to go down in infamy with Jebby over there, who's so desperate he had to bring out his murderous brother George to campaign for him in South Carolina, which he lost handily. Anyway, you go back to after Bush got elected. Remember, he gets elected in 2000. He doesn't take office till the end of January 2001. By the time 9/11, the nation was in a recession as a result of the dot-com bubble burst. People forget that. George W. Bush's popularity rating, the day before 9/11, remember, he gets elected, he's in office January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, 8 months later. There he is. His popularity rating going below 50% after just being in office a short time. It was such a disaster. But what happened after 9/11, you remember, if you were around, he's telling people, go out and shop, buy those new cars, go to Disney World, don't let this stop you. But what really happened was Alan Greenspan, Fed chairman at the time, Greenspan, well, it's all the same because it's bankism and it's one big scam. They lowered interest rates to 30-year lows, and that created the real estate bubble. And what also helped fuel the real estate bubble was that Slick Willie Clinton deregulated the Glass-Steagall Act that allowed commercial banks to become so-called investment banks, which means they're just giant casinos that are allowed to gamble. And, of course, they created the whole bubble, the derivatives and the no-income verification loans. So that's what built the whole bubble that burst in 2008. And as we keep moving forward and tying it all together to where we are today and looking at the economy, it's the same thing. But they're running out of tools in trying to fix this. But again, going back to the presidential reality show, really nothing that anyone is proposing is going to make much of a difference, or if any. On the issue of trade, and again, you know, Donald Trump, I would never vote for him, but we're political atheists, so we say what is and what we see. His stance on tariffs and bringing work back to America, those are the kind of things that play into the populist mentality. And again, the only way we see this country coming back is through a self-sustaining economy. It goes beyond buying local. It goes beyond, it becomes national, that we make our own shirts, our own shoes, our own silverware and dinnerware. You know, do the things that made America great before. Create that production, give you jobs in manufacturing for people who can't afford to go to college, that don't have the desire to go to college, or the drive to go to college, or the wherewithal to go to college, to have living wage jobs as they did before Bill Clinton sent them to first Mexico and then Canada and then around the world. Going back to the Clintons bragging about the economy of the 1990s, they leave out of that how they sold out our jobs overseas. So, and then it's where we are today and the lack of opportunities and where the economy is going. So in moving forward on the economy, tomorrow's a big day that I suggest those of you that are interested in seeing the current events forming future trends consider tuning into. Because tomorrow is going to be the day when the European Central Bank meets and they will decide how much more stimulus they're going to throw into the economy to keep the bubble being filled up so it doesn't burst. Again, I began this by going back to the 1990s, showing how the dot-com revolution really juiced the economy, but also built a bubble. Because if you remember, they had these companies that nobody knew what they were doing. It never made sense. And they were getting these great valuations and producing nothing, creating nothing, and having nothing. So this whole bubble was built. And rather than let the bubble deflate after it burst in 2000, the central banks, again, did it with monetary easing in the sense of record low, 46-year record low interest rates and juicing the economy, the killing of the Glass-Steagall Act. Now it brings us back to today. They kept that bubble building again. Rather than letting it deflate after 2008, by 2009, exactly to the day today, when the S&P hit its low, they began quantitative easing and continued zero interest rate policy to create the bubble we're now in. It's to the date. So, now, tomorrow, Europe, what's going to happen? Well, the big day is that Mario Draghi, the president of the European Central Bank, former member of the Goldman Sachs gang, head of the European division, the man who has the front for the global Sachs gang, was convinced, or I shouldn't use the word convinced, lied about the state of Greece and brought them into the Euro group and got them into the Euro currency when they weren't qualified to. That Mario Draghi, who's now the president of the ECB, the European Central Bank, tomorrow they're going to decide whether or not to put more stimulus into the economy. Now remember, the European economy grew last year at the grand total of the hot number GDP of 1.5%, hardly any growth. High unemployment throughout Spain, Portugal, France, of course, Greece, and other nations in the Eurozone. Their quantitative easing and they have negative interest rate policy has not worked. So what are they going to do tomorrow? Everybody's excited. They're going to double up on their failure. They keep bringing the negative interest rates even lower. And it's estimated that they're going to put another 10 billion euros into their stimulus program to buy back bonds. So why are the markets going up and how come they reversed their downtrend that began at the beginning of the year and went through February? Very simply, the game is rigged. And I don't say that as a conspiracy theorist. I say it as a matter of fact. They rigged the LIBOR rates, the interest rates, as we well know. They rigged the Forex markets, the currency markets that are traded at $5.3 trillion a day. We know that. We know that because six banks were convicted of felonies for doing that. Of course, none of the heads ever rolled because, hey, it's America. It's spelled with a K. And with a country that's too big to fail, that's killed capitalism, what you have is fascism, the merger of state and corporate powers. So we know that his policies are not going to work. We know that the markets are being manipulated, not only in the United States, but overseas. In the United States, when the markets get out of control, the manipulation isn't called manipulation. It's called the plunge protection team. That's right. And circuit breakers go up. The plunge protection team. A team that stops the markets from declining because the big guys don't want to take too bad a hit. And they want to sucker the small people into staying into the market. It's not capitalism. Let's end that story. It's gone. Does not exist. Poof. It's a fraud. Now, it's not only in the United States, as I said. Take a trip to Asia. Just go look what happened yesterday with the Shanghai market. On Monday, China announced, now check this out, their exports declined in February over 25%. Their exports declined over 25%. Well, it was the Chinese Lunar New Year. Yeah, save it, Jack. They were down 17% before that. Down 25%. That's a crisis. China depends on exports. That's how they got to where they are, the world's second largest economy, by their exports. And when you look at the Chinese situation, and if you want to think about a catastrophe in waiting, just check out the number. Go back 20 years ago. Their total public and private debt was about $500 billion. That's right. Fast forward. You know what it is now? 30 trillion. You think they need those exports coming in or going out so the money comes in? You bet. So you look at the Shanghai last night. Whew, it was way down there. That's right. It opened up and it just kept going down. Down, 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 down. But you look at the chart. All of a sudden, tip, cat does a reversal. Shoots back up. It's still closed down, but not down near where it was. No. You know why? They have the national team. America has the plunge protection team. They have the national team. The national team goes in there right near the end of the markets and starts buying up stuff and drives it up. So there you go. China's February trade data. Remember, exports fell over 25% year to date. And also, imports declined nearly 14%. This is huge. Because then you have to tie it into why are oil prices low? Why are iron ore, copper, zinc, and all the commodity prices so low? Well, because China takes in about 40 to 45% of these raw materials. Now let's add it up. 45%. And that means your exports are down 25%, which means you're not buying like you used to, because you're not selling like you used to. And because the economy is going down, the people aren't buying more products, so imports declined nearly 14%. This is very important because it's the global picture. Then you have to go and look at all of these resource-rich nations that used to sell their stuff to China. And then you look at the global crisis that's facing us on the financial markets. Let's put the pieces together. I talked about Brazil with the corruption. Well, Brazil was a big exporter of natural resources to China. Guess what? Brazil's in their worst recession probably in 100 years. Their real is down over a year, about 40% against the dollar. You go to Mexico, what's their big thing? Oil. Prices are way down. Look at the problems, look at the peso, way down. You go around the world from Ghana to Nigeria to Niger, Congo, one country after another, South Africa, all these resource-rich nations. They borrowed a lot of money when the quantitative easing scam began. Year to date, again, the S&P had reached its low in 2009 on this date and started moving up after quantitative easing. That meant the dollar was down and all this cheap money was flowing overseas into these emerging markets. It was called hot money. Their interest rates were much higher than the United States. They bring that money back into these countries and they borrow it, corporations and countries. And the borrowers made money because of the high interest rates where they were bringing the money into when you reverse the currencies. Now they have all this debt as their currencies are devaluing and they have to pay it off in dollars. But they're not selling products or the natural resources as they used to because the prices of all those natural resources are down and China is not buying what they used to buy. So you can see this global crisis that's in front of all of us. But nobody wants to call it what it is, and no one wants to condemn those that caused it. You're not allowed to. If you do, you're a gloom and doomer or a conspiracy theorist, even though the facts speak for themselves. What we're saying here is that we believe that the panic of 08 is about to unfold. It has unfolded. It is unfolding, and it's only being propped up by these plunge protection teams, these national teams, and market rigging. Period, paragraph. You see it all the time. At the end of every day, boom, when the markets are way down, they go up on nothing. And then you see the oil prices. Why are oil prices going up? Demand hasn't gone up. Supply has. There's more crude stock rises than they could ever dream of. You know, the latest number that just came out, you know, today is that the crude stock rose almost 4 million barrels. 4 million barrels from the previous week, according to the Energy Information Administration. Crude stocks rose now. It's like at a record high. It's about, you know, 500 and, you know, 20 million barrels. And stockpiles of gasoline, everything is at records. Why are oil prices going up? Well, we're going to make a deal and we're not going to export, we're not going to produce as much or keep the production level where it is, and that'll drive the price up. So the price is going up based on, you ready? Manipulation. The grand manipulation has nothing to do with supply and demand. The demand numbers are there, the supply numbers are there, but the markets are going up. All right, so let's really be stupid about this and keep repeating the lines that the prostitutes on CNBC and Bloomberg keep repeating. Well, the markets are tied to oil. And if oil prices go up, that's good for the markets. Why? What does that have to do with anything? You got a good job? You have any debt? You paid off that college loan? Oh, you got a car, huh? You don't have any good, you didn't have income verification, but they gave you a loan for the car. Just sign over here. Yeah, that's the next bubble to burst, those fraudulent car loans. What does this have to do with oil prices? I'll tell you, nothing. The markets are rigged. They're going up on no fundamental news of strong economic growth. It's right in front of us today. Again, you're looking at stockpiles building. Oh, yeah, the gasoline stockpiles may have dropped a little bit, you know, and distillate fuel stocks decreased a bit. But when you look at the overall amount of crude stocks and how they keep rising, they don't even have places to store this stuff anymore. They're storing it in empty in these trains that you see going by with these big tubes, these black tubes with these little things on the top of them that where they bring all this shale from the northwest east. Well, because they're not bringing as much shale, they're storing this stuff in these trains that aren't moving. So there's no reason for crude futures to go up as supply continues to escalate on the general level and demand continues to decline on the global level. The markets are rigged. So that's why we believe, again, we do not give financial advice. Now hear this, we do not give financial advice. That's why we forecast that gold is the safe haven commodity to consider. And when you look at what's happened since the beginning of this year, gold is up almost 20% since the start of the new year. It's down a bit today and yesterday, but it's still at that 1250 mark. And again, if when you're listening to our trends this week, as you have been doing, you know the facts. Because you can go back and see when gold had its big spike. You go back to January 29th. That's not ancient history, considering we're only at March 9th. And that was the day that the Japanese Central Bank announced zero interest rate policy. And since that time, gold has been on a tear. Here's our forecast. Gold must stay above this 1255 mark and move into 1300 range. Should gold, because we don't know if it will, stabilize in the 1300 range and move to 1400 and then stabilize above 1400, 1480, we believe the next move will be toward $2,000 an ounce of gold. Because I just spent the last, 20 minutes talking about the bubbles that were created with artificial money from negative interest rates, zero interest rate policy, and going back to green scams, 46-year low. Interest rate policy to get us out of the recession of 2000. They've created a massive bubble. I talked about the debt levels of China. Japan's the same thing. Their debt to GDP is like about 250%. Their negative interest rate policy is not working. Their Abenomics, two rounds of it, dumping in quantitative easing, has done nothing to boost the economy. As a matter of fact, Japan is in a recession. And we believe we are in a global recession. How far will the United States go down? It's difficult to tell. As bad as we are, we're in better shape than most of the rest of the world. But again, it's a bubble ready to pop. You have been listening, if you've been tuning in, to trends this week. We have been saying that the high end of the real estate market has peaked. And now we're starting to see the evidence. It's in front of us. You could deny it, or you could understand it. Those expensive, tiny apartments, like in New York City and San Francisco, that, maybe let's go back 10 years ago. And maybe they were selling for around $350,000, $380,000. And now $1.2 million. That's the first crack in the market. The high-end market, that's really not high-end, became middle class. That is where you're starting to see the decline, and you're also starting to see it at the end, the top end of the ultra-luxury. And by the way, as I watch the news on these news channels, and they show these apartments that are going for $20 million in New York City. What ugly junk. It's pure corporate crap. No style. No grace. It's steel and concrete. And there's no beauty, design, elegance, individuality. It's a big box, man. With recessed lighting. Cold as the bottom line that corporate America represents today. Anyway, they're having their problems selling those as it's now coming out on the news. So, here we are. Presidential reality show. Disaster in Europe. It's almost the end of a European culture with the millions and millions of people leaving their homes because they're bombed into oblivion and flooding into these countries. It would be like, families coming into your house. Again, I'm not saying the right or wrong of it. I'm saying what the is of it. Well, I can tell you the wrong of it. The wrong of it is that the people that caused it are the lunatics in charge. Your presidents and prime ministers and chancellors and policy makers. By the way, you have any kids out there that want to go to school and their degrees in worthlessness aren't getting them jobs? Well, I'm going to start a school for policy makers. They get paid really well. They could fail continually, and they get promoted to higher positions. That's what the universities need, a policymaker course. What jobs are they going to have? These people that are fleeing their nations that have been destroyed. Now, put on top of that one more element. It's called the migrant crisis. Go back to everything that we were talking about before regarding commodity prices. So let's add this up. You live in Venezuela. You have inflation running at 720%. They devalued your currency. You can't get a job. You think you want to get out of there? Or if you live in South Africa, and the mines are closing down, or Niger with the uranium mines, and you can't find a job, and there's corruption everywhere, and civil wars are breaking out. You think you want to get out of there? It's the human wave crisis, the likes of which we've never seen in the history of the world. Again, 2.3 billion people during the great refugee crisis of World War II. And now we have the migrant crisis and the refugee crisis of the new millennium. And we have over 7 billion people. We've added 5 billion since World War II. But if your son or daughter is a policymaker, I'm sure they could figure it out. Yeah, they'll have a good answer to solve this problem. It's unsolvable. There's only one way out. Only one way out, as I see it. And again, the motto of the Trends Research Institute is think for yourself. Peace and prosperity and morality, they all go together. And that's what's missing. It's not a plank on any of the platforms from the contestants of the presidential reality show. We will not talk about peace. We will not talk about morality, bringing prosperity. You vote for me, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to bomb the hell out of ISIS and their families. Hey, you think waterboarding was bad? Oh, I got one better for you. Oh, let me talk about the body of Christ like Ted Cruz does, and then say he's going to bomb until the sand glows. No. No peace platform. They're not allowed in America. The fish rots from the head down, man, and you look at that stage, and it's a bunch of rotting fish. Look at the criminals in charge. Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, a piece of crap prize. Now we're back. We're going back into Libya. I wonder why they're having those problems under them. Can't understand it. It was the most stable nation in Africa, the richest nation in Africa. Gaddafi controlled the militants that were trying to overthrow the country. He made a deal with Europe to keep migrants coming out of Africa to go through Libya and then move into Europe. He stopped that from happening. There was no refugee or migrant crisis. But Obama and Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice and Samantha Powers, with their all arrogant Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks attitude, destroyed the place. Murdered tens of thousands and created the chaos that exists today. But we're not allowed to talk about that because we're prostitutes in the mainstream media. All we do is suck up and bow down to the Johns that we work for to turn our tricks. So we're not going to mention the people responsible for this. If we stay on the path they are leading us to, the outcome is predictable and foreseeable. More of the same, but much worse. This refugee migrant crisis has no end in sight other than prosperity. And there's two elements of it. One is to stop this madness of war. Use the United Nations as they did in many different ways to bring peace to a region and rebuild their economy so the people that are migrants could go home to the places that they loved. You think they wanted to leave Damascus and Aleppo? You think they wanted to leave Baghdad? You think they wanted to leave Kabul? Do you think they wanted to leave their homes in Tripoli? They left because the United States and its lunatics in charge started wars with the military cyber-industrial complex to bomb them into oblivion. Let's stop this. More bombing will not solve the problem. It will only make it worse. Rebuild these nations. And again, you go to our Trends Journal and you look at our top trends for 2016, the only one that we see that'll help in the immediate term, other than what I talked about, is self-sustaining economies. And again, put back into place the Robertson-Patman Act, Sherman Antitrust Act, Clayton Antitrust Act, and all the tariffs and barriers that were in place before. Slick Willie Slimer Clinton deregulated those laws and pushed through NAFTA. Yeah, remember that debate with Ross Perot and Al Gore? And Ross Perot warned about the sucking sound that would suck our jobs out of this country, and they laughed him off the stage. We need to put morality back into place, jobs back into place, and the America that we love to be the country that it should be. To honor the founding fathers with no foreign entanglements, close the bases overseas, secure the homeland, put the troops back to work, rebuilding our rotted infrastructure that is now at a tune of $11 trillion just to repair it, not even to improve it. And a self-sustaining economy again means that we do trade with each other rather than sending our jobs overseas. We don't have manufacturing jobs even overseas. Companies like Apple and Nike and all the rest of them, they just get these foreign companies that hire slave labor, put them in dormitories as good slaves are put in their place, pay them nothing, get the product made for almost nothing, mark it up dozens of times, bring it back here and sell it to us as our jobs stink. That's the way out. A self-sustaining economy and occupying peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of spirit. And none of the candidates want to talk about that because they're all beholden to the war criminals that they represent. Why do you think the Clinton Foundation gets tens of millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia and other countries? Because of deals that are done. Why do you think Boeing sends them money and other military contractors? For deals that were done when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State and selling these armaments to the mass murderers, the Saudi Arabians. Hey, by the way, they're up to 70 beheadings this year already. Man, it's only what? This is only March. And last year they did 157. So they're on record to break it. Oh, hey, did you see what happened over there in Iran? They're going to execute a billionaire for the corporate crimes that he's committed. Imagine if they had that in the United States, man. Woo! We'd need the Saudis over here to help us with those beheadings. If we prosecuted the billionaire bankers and other lowlives that have robbed this country of its present and its future. I guess that's why Donald Trump hates the Iranian deal. Look what they're doing to the crooked billionaires. So anyway, the future's in your hands. Don't let anybody tell you differently. If they do, they're robbing you of your dignity, your self-respect, and your courage. You create the future. Don't let anyone else do it for you. Remember, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. And this is Gerald Celente, and that's some of the trends this week. So remember, keep on boogieing and have a great time. You got to boogie before the lights go out, because tomorrow is iffy. Da-da.